Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Brothers in the Foyer. We are so grateful to be here. I'm here with my brothers, Andrew, Will, and Ray. Raymond.
In my government name.
We are here, and we are going to be discussing this day, General Conference. So it's going to be like a General Conference recap, and we're going to be describing what General Conference is and the inspiration that we have received from conference as members of the church or non-members of the church. Again, we love a like, subscribe to Instagram, YouTube. We are on TikTok now as well. And we will leave a link in the description so that way you guys can donate. We love donations, so that way we can continue to bring quality productions to you guys. Also, shout out to Serve Clothing. Serve Clothing, one of our partners. We're also going to leave a link with our promo code, so that way if you're interested in any of Serve Clothing's products, you can go. Product code is For Your Fam.
Yes, sir. For Your Fam.
For Your Fam.
Be right down there. They got shirts. They got sweats, hats, socks, I believe, too.
Yeah, like, so athletic gear. Hey, their church shirts are fire.
Bro, the shirt with the vents.
With the vents.
Yes. Yeah, 100. They got the vents on the side, so it's like you ain't getting tacos or nothing like
for
that.
For those sweaty, sweaty men.
For the boss. Yeah. You don't worry about the big bag sweating during the summer.
Hey, great shirt. I was in Arizona in 114 wearing the long sleeve, and I was cool as a cucumber. You know what I mean? Like, it was hot, but I wasn't hot, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So today, we all are coming off of General Conference, right? We had General Conference this past weekend, and there's people in our audience who really don't know or may not know what General Conference is. So in our words, let's give the audience what General Conference is.
It's a free weekend not to go to church. Just kidding.
I think there's a lot of things that you can say in this. I mean, there's a lot of tradition that goes into this, but I would say most of all, it's probably just an opportunity to hear the words of the Lord, you know, by the Lord's prophets.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
I was discussing this with my wife yesterday. I feel like it's that and what Ray said as well, but it's an opportunity to kind of check yourself, you know, to get right with the Lord, and almost like sacrament. That's kind of the experience that I have, or that I had this most recent conference. But yeah, an opportunity to see where you are and how you can improve and learn new things. So
yeah, I found myself this conference where it was like, you said something about traditions.
Mm-hmm.
Having five kids, we usually do conference on Saturday. We play one that we all sit together, and then we go about our day for Saturday, but we're having it playing in the background or in the car when we leave and whatnot. So we've been doing that for years now. And then this time, I was so focused because my kids are older now that I have priesthood holders in the home. That's weird to say, right? Other than myself. But I saw that I was trying to focus on trying to get them to watch more and more to where I was losing sight of that I needed conferences as well. So this was probably the first conference that I watched full myself because I wanted my kids to see me watching that I, this is for me as well. I needed this. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, twice a year we get the privilege and opportunity to hear from our church leaders. And the thing that sticks out to me that I don't feel like is emphasized enough is that the prophet and the leaders are not just like leaders for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but they're speakers for the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so all their counsel that they give, the inspiration you can receive is not just for members of the church per se, but I mean, this is counsel and inspiration that can guide the world to greater peace and understanding of the Savior.
Right. And one thing that's cool about it is that people don't think about it. It's called General Conference. It's not specific conference.
Yeah.
When it's general, there's things that are going to be shared that are applicable to anyone and everyone, you know, no matter where you're at in your life, even if you're a different religion, you know, if you're a different way of life, walk of life, all those things are taught that can be help you become a better person overall in the world. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Now, we did interviews with people on the street. You guys did. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah, man. The cool thing that was about this was that we were able to see people from all over the world. You know, we had people from Belgium, black people from Belgium.
Black.
Bro.
Wait. Say that again.
Yes. I don't know if they were originally African or what, but they were from Belgium. I was like, what? You little Belgian chocolates out here in Salt Lake City. Man, what are y'all doing? But and then I met this other brother, Yay Samake, I think that's how you say his name. I probably
butchered. No, that's right. That's right.
But he was like, he was trying to be the president of his country in Mali, Africa, and like just trying to help change the corruption that's out there and everything. And I just thought that was crazy, just because I felt impressed to say, hey, can we ask you guys to talk to you about that's conference? Crazy. And then I hear his name, and then I Google him on online because I was trying to remember his name. He pronounced it, but it was just too hard for me to understand, so I tried to Google it up, and there's just all this stuff about this man. I was like, this dude is a legit like leader, man. And one thing he said is that he said for him to get to the nearest temple, he has to travel 11 hours to get to the nearest temple where he's at out there.
Wow.
I was like, wow, like dedication, man, you know. And then I've met people that were from Scotland. You just see all these people who are dedicated, and the gospel is applicable to them no matter where you're at in the world, you know, and they come all the way here. It's just cool.
Yeah. No, just to add to that, I think, to that same point, like here in Utah, you might see just one race, but, you know, we have members all over the world, and I think that's something that sets the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints apart from other religions, is that everybody's welcome. Everybody from all different walks of life. Yeah. And it was a really cool experience to see that, you know. The one family that I know were from the Dominican Republic. Yeah.
How'd you know them? Were they on your mission?
Yeah, so mission. What? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. But, that was pretty cool to see that and to see them again and connect with them. And it was a great experience for sure. So
that's dope.
No, hearing you talk, I had to look up this scripture because if you want to see prophecy fulfilled, I feel like Temple Square, General Conference, the restoration of the church, this scripture is literally like shows it in person. And so it's Isaiah chapter 2, verse number 2, and it says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it."
Yeah.
And like General Conference, where people are coming from literally, like y'all just explained, like everywhere, every nation, is a perfect like fulfillment to see the fulfillment of this mm-hmm. prophecy.
Now, when you saw that, was there other people that you guys encountered that may not have come for the General Conference message?
There's gonna be a little bit of ops out there, you know, sitting on the corner. But overall, I mean, it's interesting. No one really approached us. I wonder why. Because, yeah, a lot of them, I think most of the people come out on Sundays. We were there on Saturday afternoon, but there was a few people out there, but no one even really said nothing to us, you know. But yeah, it's interesting to see people. There's always someone that's gonna be having some opposition against the church, or just not, you know, whatever their situation, whatever got them to that point. You know, it's sad, but I mean, it almost feels like we're following the iron rod, and you see everyone else just yelling at you, and you're staying forward. You're trying to get to the conference center, and hear the word of the Lord. And so it's just kind of some symbolism within that. But overall, it was pretty good, though.
My brother served here in Salt Lake, and conference, all the missionaries in Salt Lake go to the, you know, the Temple Square and whatnot. And so they're met with these, with aggressors and whatnot. And, you know, every 6 months, right? Same people. So when we were back Arizona has the Easter pageant. Mm-hmm. And those same people travel. And so when they saw my brother got off his mission, they embraced each other. They're like, hey, you. You still feel the same way? Yeah, me too. All right, you need a water? You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, it's for them, it's something as well, because I know they feel the spirit, yeah. At least when they go there, you know what I mean? So, yeah, that was an interesting question to ask.
That's good.
Yeah. It's always crazy to see those people. You know, I remember one year someone was standing on the corner in their temple clothing, and they had their face painted white, and I think I was in eighth grade. Yeah, wow, I was just like, man, what is that? What are they doing? Like, what's going on, man?
That's crazy.
Yeah. But, yeah, I remember that year.
Shout out to the people in the comments dropping something rude. See y'all.
Most definitely. Man, so, I mean, we had the opportunity to, you know, hear from the Prophet, President Nelson. Mm. What were y'all thoughts on all the temple announcements?
Bro.
I mean, 17 temples.
Yeah.
I think the announcement before then was,
pack your bags, bro. Like, Jesus is coming back, man. I'm telling y'all that right now. Jesus is coming back soon, man. I don't know. That's the biggest vibe I got from, or what I picked up from President Nelson. Like, everything it was around that. He's like, you need to prepare now. You need to get yourselves right. You need to become more dedicated disciples. Just, I mean, what else could he say that doesn't mean that? You know.
Yeah, that was his talk to me. Actually, was the one that. That stood out, I won't say inspired me the most, but like I was more touched by it because of the urgency. I felt like that was in the message, and it was very reminding of the scriptures. I feel like even the scriptures give like a sense of urgency of how we ought to prepare ourselves, mm-hmm. and be prepared for the Savior's return, and being in the last days. We can kind of see that in like a lot of the chaos around us. Things are going crazy, you know, from social issues to natural disasters that are happening, and praying for those people that are in Florida, because Florida has been getting
Carolina
dumped on, you know, with hurricanes just in the past 2 weeks. And so, but like his message really stirred me in terms of just the importance, you know, like right now in the value of our time, because he's just like, in the coming day, in the coming day, and then he's like, today, you know, like we need to be really preparing and strengthening ourselves as in our discipleship.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's what he says, like when you open the talk in the gospel library, it says, now is the time for you and for me to prepare for the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus, the Christ. I mean, now, and it, for him though, I was like, does that mean that it's going to be in his lifetime? Or nah? Or it's just in general, everybody needs to prepare to meet God, because nothing's promised tomorrow.
You're going to be translated.
For him, it's just like.
No, but for real though, I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is just me, but has anyone else ever heard a prophet or President Nelson say that, like, now is the time. Y'all need to get it right now. Like, they've always said, hey, in the coming days, I mean, prepare yourself. But it seems like he was like, yeah, that urgency.
Well, the temple ball got rolling with, like, President Hinckley, where it was, like, his focus in it. And then it's been going on and on and on. I will say this. I remember, so I was on my mission with, I probably shared this before, but I was on my mission when 9/11 happened and whatnot, and then my mission president, his son was, we all had a special zone conference or whatnot, and he's like, just talking about the things that you just mentioned, like the earthquakes, all the things that are in the scriptures of his coming day.
Yeah.
And he goes like this, like, there's going to be wars, rumors, wars, all these horrific things. He's like, hey, have peace of mind, because at the end, the Savior's going to return. Mm-hmm. That's what's great about this message, is that all this stuff will happen, but it will end like our Heavenly Father, you know, says it's going to end, that the Savior's going to return, that Heavenly Father composed this beautiful plan, and the Savior orchestrates it, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, all these things coming up, like, you know, some people may get scared, like, oh, man, the signs are coming. But then some people are like, oh, man, let's rejoice.
Yeah.
Let's prepare. Let's meet on the Mount Zion for his return. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's, it's from that time, I've never been scared. I need to prepare, right? But I've never been scared of seeing signs come up. Mm-hmm. and just, oh man, he's gonna return, you know. So
yeah.
No, I love that. I think faith, fear is the opposite of faith. And so as we trust in the words of the prophet, as we pray, receive that inspiration and confirmation that we need to believe and trust in God and his leaders that he's called, I think we can have that faith that we need to carry us through these hard times, because it's only going to get uglier. And I think having the gospel of Jesus Christ helps us to have a solid foundation. I loved President Nelson's talk because I felt that same urgency. I felt like, man, there's some things in my life that I need to change, that I need to align myself with the Lord's will. And it was a call to repentance for me, for sure. It's amazing to be living during this time, for sure.
I like the difference you said there, like not fear, but we repent.
Yeah.
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because fear means we don't have that opportunity, right? To repent or whatnot. So I love that sense of peace of mind there. Yeah. That's cool.
He talks about that in the talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe this might be on a little bit in line with what you were saying, but the thought that came to my mind was this point that he says. He's like, I urge you to devote your time each week for the rest of your life to increase your understanding of the atonement of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
For the rest of your life. Now, don't do it just for next week or the next 6 months, but for the rest of your life. He's like, mm-hmm. You guys need to make sure that you understand what the atonement of Jesus Christ is and apply it to your life. Because it's I feel like when we understand what that is, that helps us get through all these hard days, these hard weeks, the hard month, the hard year, the marriage problems, the children issues, the school problem, which is whatever it is, you know. If you understand the atonement of Jesus Christ, you understand that he is there to help us to succor our pains and afflictions. He understands of where we're at, what we've overcame, our sins, all that. It's all swallowed up in Christ, you know. And if we understand the atonement, everything's okay, you know. It's easier said than done, but if we devote ourselves and consecrate ourselves to try to do that, I think that makes life easier.
Whew. No. Elder Karen talked about that and how, like, when we go to church, when we partake of the sacrament, we shouldn't just be sitting there thinking about all of our sins, but we should be rejoicing in the opportunity that we have the Savior to rejoice and to help us overcome those things that we're struggling with. And I really love that because I'm really hard on myself. I'm really hard. I always always look at all the bad things, you know, and I had never thought about that before. You know, that gave me a different perspective.
I love what you, man, I love that because what you guys are talking about is like the hope. Something that stood out to me was Neil Anderson's because I love how you said, like, you know, there's going to be trying times. That's inevitable, right? And we can find joy in that. Mm-hmm. I remember listening to Neil Anderson's when he was talking about that family that their son passed away right before, you know, going on a mission. He's like, and the mom found joy. And I was like, how? You know, and then I got reminded I don't know if I'd call it sweet, but I will call it peace in a crazy time. I think you can share this because we're healed from it, or healing from. Man, Andrew, you shouldn't have said what you said because it pierced. One of my children one of my children was molested from a family friend, and we were at a cousin's house, and our child came to us and told us what happened. I was in it. I felt like I couldn't help them, and that I didn't protect them or anything like that. I was in the deep And so we're at my cousin's house, and my cousin's hearing what's going on with me and my wife and our child. So he goes, hey, can I give you a blessing, you and your wife? I'm like, of course. But things are running through my mind. I'll say this, like, the gospel was far from that. But when he gave us the blessing, man, the peace that I felt in that moment was something that I needed in that instance to move in and carry on. So I had to repent in the moment. I was listening to the talks. I was like, how could they? You know what I mean? And then that flooded my mind, and I was like, oh, yes, we, like, the atonement does help us in anything. Like, the Savior has taken anything and everything that keeps us away from joy or happiness that hurts us. He's taken that up upon him. Yeah. And so that's what this conference reminded me of, that, hey, times are trying.
Man, bro. Man, I appreciate you for sharing that, man. I mean,
wasn't going to. Didn't know.
I mean, I guarantee there's someone out there who needs to hear that. You know, I know people, family too, that have been afflicted by things like that. You know, and it's like, how do you move on from stuff like that? You know, these afflictions that come upon us,
especially without wanting to retaliate,
right?
Oh, yeah,
because I can't even imagine, bro. Like,
yeah. It was crazy. So, like, this conference was, okay, like, in Neil Anderson's talk, he's talking about receiving joy during this time. It, to feel that piece of the Savior's love, like, it literally, I mean, you know, I still have the effects of pain, but I knew that we could get through this as a family, and then my child could, right? doing it the lawful way in therapy, and we're part of it, but to have that sense of peace was something that I didn't know that I needed, and especially at that time. So it was, it was excruciating, but I felt peace.
That it reminds me of that scripture. So the peace will, that passes all understanding, you know, it gives you something that you can't explain. It's kind of hard to even put into words, and it's helped you overcome and helped you take on the next step each and every day. I mean, yeah, just as Isaiah said, I don't know how I would be able to handle that, man. I mean, you're definitely a warrior right here, man, just to even deal with that. Father? Bro, father,
right?
That's what I'm. That's what I was. That's what I'm right. saying. Yeah, like,
I'm talking about click clack.
Yeah, I should be talking to you from a screen right now.
Because man, I salute you, man. That's tough as a father to deal with, man.
It is, man. I like you sharing that and me hearing, you know, just the result that you were able to receive, you know, from this past conference, like how you were kind of reminded of that incident and reminded that you did receive peace, really emphasizes a prophetic promise to me personally that President Nelson gave this past conference. He promised that we will find the Savior in the temple. He said, I give a promise. I can't quote it verbatim, but just paraphrasing it, that as we attend the temple, that we will find him. And as members of the church, like, we have the privilege, you know, to attend temples, you know, and worship there. But temples we can create, you know, sacred spaces, sacred places of worship if we don't, in the moment, you know, have access to the temple. And it is in those moments I feel like we can find the Savior and get the peace, you know, that you were able to get you know, and feel, you know, even as we go through these adverse times, you know. So that's something I want to highly encourage myself, our audience, is to really seek after the Savior, you know, and like President Nelson said, as we do and as we are creating and finding him in the temples, then we'll find him and have that peace and be able to get that.
Yeah. Is it just me, or do you guys feel like you found the Savior more when you were going through trials and going through the worst of this life versus when life was going good?
Most definitely. I agree.
Most definitely.
You feel like you find them more when you're going through opposition versus when life, when you're just living the gospel. And I mean, you still feel him there, but I feel like you have a deeper connection when you are in that agony, in that place of hurt, that place of betrayal or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like when I've gone through stuff this year, I feel like when I've felt like I had nothing else I could do, that is when I felt the closest to my Savior, you know?
Mm. Yeah. No, I've definitely had those moments. I felt them when I was going through adversities. I feel like now more often for me, when I feel closest to him is when I've seen the journey, mm-hmm. or like when I'm having to make a sacrifice. I feel, whether it be a sacrifice for someone else, a sacrifice of time, or of anything in that nature. Hardships, I've definitely felt super close to him. For it's kind of hard not to, knowing that, you know, we're going to face adversity, you know, in this life, mm-hmm. when we decide to lean on him in those times. But most recently I've been seeing him, I feel like, as I put my thoughts upon others. Like most recently I've had a client of mine that I was working with. Dang, man, he's starting these tears. And I get really invested, you know, in the people that I work with. Mm. And one of my clients, they were a pair, you know, they were a couple. And I got a call from one of the partners that said that, I won't say his name, but that he passed away, you know. And that affected me way more than I thought it would, you know, not just from a perspective, because I'm working, you know, these are people that I'm working with, but I'm developing relationships,
yeah.
you know, like with the people. And it's not just about the service, you know, but it's about the friendships that I'm gaining.
It wasn't transactional.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It wasn't transactional at all. And like, it affected me, you know, and I called my wife and I told her right away, like, what happened. And right away she knew, like, I was going to be affected by it, because she's like, oh, you know, like, I know how invested you are, you know, like, in your clients and how much you like to give back to them. And the next day actually hit me harder, because I guess I processed it, you know, just processed, like, the presence that in that short time I was working with them, like, really what he meant to me. And it was in that moment, you know, that I felt the Savior the closest, because it wasn't really, like, just about me, but other people. And then I felt what, you know, his partner was feeling, you know, through the loss. So, you know, I guess that's the gospel. You know, when you get to certain stages, you really start to feel others and other people's emotion and really have that deeper connection, you know, with the people that you're around. So,
Christ-like love right there.
Yeah.
You know, charity for all those God's children. And it's I think that one of the first times I experienced, you know, forgiveness, I felt that love for my Savior. And I had never experienced that before in my life. And that experience has carried me to where we are now in life. And I've had more experiences like that. And this conference, I felt that love. I told my wife, I was like, man, I finally feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to do in life. Mm-hmm. And you guys know how it is. And our audience will know, too, for those that have served missions, when you come back home from your mission and you try to adjust to life, it's really hard to do that. And coming back home from my mission, it was a hard adjustment. I didn't really have too much support, you know, doing that, and it was challenging. I ended up falling back into some old habits that I had before my mission, and was struggling with my testimony and trying to, you know, get back on the covenant path. And I just love how the Savior will always be there for us. And the hard times, the good times, He's going to always be there for us. And I love that. I love that He's real. He's a human just like us, you know, but He's perfect. And He knows what we're going through, and He wants to be there for us. And I just love these stories that you share, Ray, and Isaiah, because the Savior has done that, you know. He has been there, and He can relate to what we're going through. And it's powerful to be able to connect with Him on that level.
Yeah. It's like a big part of, I guess, when you draw closer to Him, you get to feel His peace. You know how you got to feel it. And I guess me, you know, you just get to feel like,
His comfort,
and you get to understand a bit how He understands, and that's the beauty, man, of, you know, just the journey we on, and being able to create this relationship with the Savior, is because we get to feel a little bit of everything that He feels, you know. And for me personally, that's been the biggest and deepest part of my conversion is getting those little, like, if the smallest, whatever measurement, you know, of what the Savior deals and feels with, and deals with is that's my greatest love there, you know.
I found myself this conference, you know, as I was talking about Neil Anderson's talk, I found that I was with the Savior that, yeah, we're friends, but we're like, that sounded weird. Yes. No, like we're having a conversation, but on my side, I was like, well, what about this? Where's my pavilion? Where's the, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like that, yeah. Doesn't. And then after I had those thoughts, then the speaker was saying the remedy too. So like, you know, one of the things that the hashtags have been going out after, I think it was Saturday mornings or whatnot, is like, doubt your doubts, not your faith. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I find myself, I'm 40 something. That's right.
Don't look like it.
Cocoa butter. But I find myself
Palmers.
Like, like my parents or like church leaders didn't give me the roadmap. They gave me the roadmap all the way to getting married. But not sustaining that through, like, because, like, my, you know, my family, my dad, my uncles, my aunts, they didn't talk about the struggles they had when they're in their 40s with five kids, work, and yes. Stuff like that. And, it, like, all I saw was them going to the temple, yeah, maybe getting frustrated over bills or whatever, yeah. but there wasn't anything, like, how to keep the family engaged. So that was my thing. Like, I was, like, fighting my kids to be like, well, it's not that I was just like, hey, come, let's watch. No, we're just. But they sat there doing their whatever they were doing as it was on, and then I could see my daughter look up. She heard something, and they go down. I'm like, okay, that's what I need. But I'm trying to find, like, I feel like I'm in a new stage of life that I need to engage the Savior with, because it's like I need more. Obviously, as I'm talking about it, I know what I need to do. You know what I mean? But it's like, it's I thought I'd be safe at this moment. Hey, I was married in the temple.
Yeah.
We
yeah,
Gucci. Yeah. Let's just wait for the right. And, you know what I mean? But that's not the case. You continually work in, as you said earlier.
Continual process. I mean, as you're saying, like, this conference for me has been night and day difference between the last 15-odd years, because now I have a two-year-old who doesn't stop talking. He's just Daddy. Wild. Yeah, just yapping, just screaming, and just all this. And then a newborn, you know. And so this dynamic was the hardest for me to actually focus on conference. And now I have to learn how to, okay, how do I do this balance? How do I, or not even this balance, how do I put this priority first, you know, and put things in perspective? And so it's definitely just a parallel with life, you know. Like, there's always going to be different distractions outside of us and things that are trying to get our attention. But how do we keep those in place and hear what's most important and have that best, I think it's a business term, ROI,
right.
of what we're doing, you know. And so it's like, how do we do that, you know, when we have conference here, we have these great talks that we need to pay attention to and listen to, but then we have family, and then we have work and all this stuff. It's like, how do we keep that important on the same level, you know, or is it, I don't know.
Is it just conference weekend? Is that the important part? I'm on the up and up. You know what I mean? When I'm on the up and up, I'll take those conference talks. Like, remember, for years, we only watched one speaker, and then on Saturday, and then watch one session on Sunday while we're making breakfast all together. And then we have the laptop sitting in the kitchen while we're eating breakfast, and then watching, and then kids fall asleep, and it's fun. But then I'll take like the one, like a conference talk each week, just to listen to and study through throughout that week. Or we use that for, you know, our 10-minute family evening. You know what I mean? Just to make sure that I get all those talks before the 6 months. Now, I mean, just like you said, okay, these talks is really dedicated for the next 6 months. This is what I need to do, not only me, but the world needs to focus on. I think that was the first time that I took that in. Like, I've heard it all the time, but now I'm like, okay, application needs to start.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. I think for me, I always feel guilty if I don't watch all of it. I think this time I was trying to change that, and I was just trying to focus on what do I need? What does my family need at this time? And what can I take, you know, back home, and how can I change and become a better disciple of Christ? And I think as I did that, I wasn't so worried on how many sessions I was going to watch, but I was just thinking like, okay, well, which talk is speaking to me more? And I was able to get a little bit more out of it, but it's definitely hard, you know, those toddlers, man, like, my son is all right.
With my wife and I, when we were first married, we lived in this apartment complex where everybody was members. So we call it winter quarters, you know, right? because you know, you just stay there for a little bit because everybody just got married and whatnot, and they moved to these apartments. It was great. Conference would be playing, like, everybody open up their windows. And then you hear conference out in everybody's room, and I'm watching college football like, duh, 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 duh. you know what I mean? But it's like there's a point of like there's a spirit to conference, because like you said earlier, it's the you're hearing from the prophets of the Lord. It's an exciting time, but then just the little anxieties that we have to watch all. The nuances.
Yeah, and what you were saying, it's kind of reminds us like more quality over quantity,
right?
You know, it's not about watching every single talk, even though there's good things that come from each and every single talk that's given. But it's like, what is it that revelation that I need for my family and for my wife, for my kids, and for my life? You know, I think that's what's more important than sitting and watching every single talk. But you're going to get back to hearing them all, and you're going to hear something in an elder's quorum, or you're going to hear something someone gives over a talk at church regarding that, and you'll get inspiration from that as well. But for right now, what can you do with what you have?
Yeah.
Run from there.
Yeah, I feel like we got to give ourselves some grace, you know, in terms of the expectation, especially if we're attending from home. Like, we got small children. Like, because I used to be the same way, like, Will, kind of stress over, like, making sure the environment is great to be able to have a good, you know, reverent atmosphere to be able to. It's not happening. It's just not happening. Not when you got kids, you know. So we got to, I feel like, give ourselves some grace and take in the quality, you know what I'm saying, of conference. We tune in how we can tune in, and that's the great thing about today. We got recordings. We can always go back throughout the months and then create atmospheres for ourselves as individuals, you know. I guess that's why they have it where you can attend in person. If you can attend in person, go in person, have a great experience, great atmosphere. But yeah, we just vibing at home. You got young kids, like, you got to make it work, you know?
Hey, remember when you were single and you used to go on Sunday because that's when everybody went? You know. Hey. and then you try to get in the end zone. You know what I mean? You see the cameras going, and then you're like, oh.
Try to look away.
No, I, and low-key, I mean, going to conference this year was actually was really a cool experience, honestly. Just being able
attending, right?
Yeah, attending in person was really cool. But I forgot just how small those stadium seats are, man. Like, my kneecaps was rubbing up against it. It was bad.
Felt like an airplane seat.
Dude, man, I'm like, am I that big now? Like, I mean, it wasn't the wrist side, it was just the knee, like the leg room. I was like killing it. It was rubbing up against my knees and everything. Like, me and Maurice, we were just, like, sitting next to each other. I'm off to the side like this, and there's this other dude who's just sitting right next to me, and I'm just like, sorry.
There's, like, Sub-Zero in there, too. So you can't go to sleep?
You can't go to sleep?
No, you can't.
Yeah, I found myself trying to fight that, too. I was just like... That's never happened. I'm in this new era of my life now where, like, I don't fall asleep usually, but I'm like, just recently, man, I don't know if it's just the newborns and everything. Like, I can't hang like I used to.
Hey, I used to listen to conference talks just to go to sleep.
No,
that's
bro.
The spirit, you feel it, bro. You're right.
Peace, extra peace, man. No, never mind.
Dear brethren. Knocks me out.
I think everybody's. This is irreverent, but I think everyone knows there's one person who can just get you to sleep. There's that one person. It's I don't know if it's just the frequency or the voice, the tone that they carry. It's just that one person who speaks to get you to sleep every time. I don't say his name,
but it rhymes with what?
I ain't gonna say it. Head. We editing that out. But no, it's just, I don't know. It's just a different stage of my life. It's where I feel like I'm not as, like, I'm just trying to just survive, pay attention to everything. But overall, yeah, conference was great, though.
All right, well, fellas, this has been amazing, man. I'm super hype about moving forward now that we got the counsel that we got for the next 6 months, and really appreciate you guys sharing what you shared, the vulnerability, as always.
It's not going to be published, is it?
Always.
Unfortunately.
That's who we are. But
therapy session.
We need to see more of this, you know? Like, for men, our sons need to see this.
Real men cry, man.
Yeah. Most definitely. So, we want to thank you, Foyer fam, and our audience for joining us for this episode of Brothers in the Foyer, as we've been able to discuss a general conference and have a recap of the inspiration that we've received over general conference weekend. We also want to, again, ask you guys to like, subscribe to us on all major platforms. We're on YouTube, Instagram. We got TikTok now, which has actually been getting a lot of good traction. So, we'd really appreciate that. Also, we're going to leave a link in the description where you guys can go and donate. We love any donation, so that way we can keep bringing this quality podcast to you.